friend Andy, and I'm getting out just for a few minutes here. What are we going to do? We're going to do a song. Okay, good. Go sit down. What? Go sit down. I'll stay here and help you with the song, okay? I can handle it. Go sit down. I don't think it's going to work. You guys not hearing they sing? Go sit down. Well, okay, we're going to try something different. Andy's going to sing the song by himself, okay? So you bear with us. Go for it. Go sit down. Okay, you're on your own. Give it a try. Now, we can wait all evening long. Andy's not going to sing a thing, is he? He can't. He's made of wood. He's made of cloth. He can't move. He can't talk. He can't sing. He cannot do anything unless I'm there to help him. You remember what Jesus told us in John 15:5? He said, without me, you can do nothing. Please hear me. Don't try to live the Christian life in your own strength. Stay close to Lord Jesus. That's where our strength comes from. Don't try to witness to a friend in your own wisdom, your own experience. The Holy Spirit wants you to depend on him. I'm saying this. Don't try to do things on your own like Andy does. That is not working, obviously. If I leave him there, he's going to sit there the rest of his life, okay? And so it didn't work out. Andy, how about if I give you a voice and we can try something, okay? Old man Noah had an ark, A-E-I-O-U. And on this ark he had a duck, A-E-I-O-U. A clack, clack here and a clack, clack there. Here, clack there, clack here, there, clack, clack. Old man Noah had an ark, A-E-I-O-U. Old man Noah had an ark, A-E-I-O-U. And on this ark he had a pig, A-E-I-O-U. With an oink oink here and an oink oink there, here an oink there, an oink oink, clack clack here and a clack clack there, here clack there, clack here, there, clack clack. Old man Noah had an ark, A-E-I-O-U. And on this ark he had a cow, A-E-I-O-U. With a moo moo here and a moo moo there, here a moo there, a moo there, there, moo moo. Old man Noah had an ark, A-E-I-O-U. On this ark, that's enough, okay? He had a horse, that's enough, thank you. Okay, I tell you what, Andy, why don't you do a song about getting saved, serving the Lord Jesus? Sing a song like that, and that can help you out, okay? Can I choose the volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? How about the guy right here? Hi, kid.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
What's your name?
Jaden.
Say it again.
Jaden.
This is Jaden. Jaden, are you married? Shell shock here. Just thought I'd ask. What song you want to sing?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. Okay. How about Jesus Loves Me or Jesus Loves the Little Children? How about that one? Okay. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Okay, thank you, Jaden. Give Jaden a big round of applause, if you would, please. And thank you for helping us out there, Jaden, okay? Let's do a story. Do what? A story. I don't know if we have time for that or not. You guys want to hear a story?
Yeah.
What story? David and Goliath. You told that today already. They want to hear it again. You guys want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll do the story of David and Goliath. Can I do David? You be David? Uh-huh. Why should I let you be David? Because I'm strong and courageous and good-looking. We'll let you be David. You listen more closely as we do the story. Can I do sound effects? Sound effects? Uh-huh. I guess so. Just don't overdo it, okay? Once upon a time, a young man by the name of David, that'll be me. One afternoon, David was on the hillside watching a flock of his father's sheep. David was out on the hillside. His father came out and called for him. David! Whoa. What was that? Sound effects. Oh, thank you. David came running to see what his father wanted. Sound effects. David said, yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. David's father said, son, take some food to your brothers. David's older brothers were in the army of Israel. And about that time, the army of Israel was fighting the army of the Philistines. So David took some food, Twinkies. No, he didn't take Twinkies. He took bread and corn and cheese, went to the battlefield to see his brothers. When he got to the battlefield, he saw something really shocking. Who, you? No, he saw a giant, a real live giant. And the giant said, thee, thumb, foe, fight. No, wrong giant. The giant said, ho, 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 I'm the jolly green Philistine. Wrong giant. He said, send me a man, yeah, and we'll fight, yeah. And if I beat him, yeah. What's with this? Yeah. Would you please quit? Let's start again. David went to King Saul's tent. He said, "Oh, king, there's a giant out there. Oh, king, there's a giant out there. And somebody needs to kill the giant. Somebody needs to kill the giant. And so I'll kill the giant." "I'll do what?" David kills the giant. He's big. I know he's big. He's strong. I know he's strong. You snailed him too, huh? David fights a giant. David went down the creek and he got 5 smooth stones. "Oh, great. You're going to throw rocks at this guy." Which, remember, David was an expert with a sling and a stone. "Oh, yeah." So get this. David goes to the creek. He gets 5 smooth stones. He goes walking the battlefield. And Goliath sees him walking the battlefield. Goliath cursed David by his gods. And David said, "Stop that cussing, turkey. I'll cut your head off." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He said, "The battle is the Lord's." He put a stone in the swing. He went swinging around and around and around. He released the stone. The stone went flying through the air and struck Goliath right in the forehead. Goliath fell to the earth with a loud crash and just lay there. Was he dead? No, he's just stoned. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. You know what Goliath said when he was down? "I fall in and I can't get up." And Goliath didn't say anything. David went on the battlefield, took Goliath's sword. I took Goliath's sword. He raised it high in the air. Raised it high in the air. Brought it down. Brought it down. And he cut Goliath's head off. And I cut. Ooh, yuck. Ooh, yuck. The Philistines are running for their lives and they're screaming, "Ooh, yuck." David won the battle that day. Goliath lost. Why did David win? Because he was on God's side, amen? And one quick lesson for the young people, God can use young people. That's for sure, isn't it? Don't be afraid to serve the Lord, and it's great to serve the Lord. Let him use your life. Would you tell Andy goodnight, please?
Goodnight.
"I ain't gonna go." I think you are. "I ain't gonna go." Yes, you are. "Granny, help me. He's killing me." That's enough. You old grouch. That's enough, Andy. Thank you. Well, I'll stand and sing a chorus, and I think we're going to have a certain group be dismissed. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia." Well, an important looking man came walking in just a moment ago carrying a Bible. He's probably a preacher, and I'm assuming I probably have to get out of the way and let him come and preach. Pastor Rambler.
Invite everybody way back there to come closer to the front. So, if you could, now Randy, you're fine there, but all the rest of you, if you could come, unless you have some medical condition or something like that, please move on down closer. Thank you very much. Now, we have a baby, that's fine, you can stay back there. All right, Brother Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, well, it's good to be with you this evening. We've been looking forward to this. I was asked to do a class on parenting, and I thought, parenting? I don't have much experience there. I only have 3 kids, but let's do it. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And would you read aloud with me verse 32, the last verse in that chapter, Ephesians 4 and verse 32, reading together. Together? "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." A key verse, a short verse. Read it one more time if you would. Together. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father, thank you for our time together as believers in your house. I would ask again that you would fill me with your power, with your spirit. And Lord, that you would take this simple message and speak to the heart of each husband here tonight and each wife. Bless our homes, bless our families. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're just around the corner from a very special holiday. And what is that holiday called? Valentine's Day. And perhaps you men are thinking, why can't I get my wife something really special? I have a suggestion, something that I think would help your marriage. And I suggest you give her a whole bucket of KFC. And you would say, well, my wife doesn't even like fried chicken. We're not talking fried chicken. We're talking KFC, the kind of KFC that you would find in this bucket. In fact, if you look in the verse, you'll see the KFC in the verse. The first letter is what? K. And look at the verse. What would that stand for? Kindness. And be ye, what's the next word? Kind one to another. Kindness can cost you almost nothing. It can pay tremendous dividends, can't it? In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that God, our Father, is going to spend eternity being kind, showing his kindness to us through Jesus Christ. And kindness sometimes can be very simple, yet pay a tremendous dividend. I think it was evangelist Steve Pickett flew into a town. He landed at the airport, went and got his luggage, and then went to the car rental agency to rent a car that week, and he found out there's a whole group of people, 19 people in front of him. Greater problem than that, the car rental agency, for some reason, didn't bring enough cars, and they were out of cars. So here's 19 very, very irate people. In fact, Steve said one man was so irate, he's leaning across the counter and screaming curse words at the two clerks that are working the counter. Steve heard one of the clerks say to the other, man, I could go for a cup of coffee right now, couldn't you? And Steve thought, hey, why not? He went down the concourse there and found a vendor and got a cup of coffee, brought it back in. He caught the idea of the one clerk and brought him over and said, here's your coffee. The man said, what's this all about? Steve said, well, I just heard you say you could use a cup of coffee. I thought I'd give you one. The man said, well, thank you, sir. A couple minutes later, he stepped to the far end of the counter, caught Steve's eye, motioned him over. He said, I can't say this in front of everybody, but we have one car left. I want you to have it. He said, now I'll charge you for economy. But he said, you mind driving a Jaguar? Not a bad payoff for a little bit of coffee, a little bit of kindness. Amen. Folks, sometimes the payoff is greater than that. I've got a friend in Little Rock, Arkansas, Rick Erickson. He's been at Fairview Baptist Church for about 25 years, worked with the teens there. Several years ago, he's in the church van at night, like 2:30 in the morning, I think coming back from a missions trip, and he's on the freeway. One of the tires on the van began to separate at freeway speed, so he immediately slowed down, pulled over on the corner, and then checked, and there was no spare on the van. What do you do now? So he went limping along the side of the freeway, and then he got off the first exit and came up to a tire store. It's all closed down. It's all dark. But in the headlights from the van, they could see a little placard on the front window. It said, in case of emergency, dial this number. Well, Rick called and got a man out of bed. Now it's 2:45 in the morning. Rick described the situation. The man said, give me 5 minutes. I'll be right there. Just a few minutes later, he pulled in the parking lot, unlocked the building, turned on the lights, and he called the teenagers into the waiting room and opened the vending machine and gave them each a snack and a free drink and just gave it to them. Rick was so impressed by the way that he was treated that night and his teens were treated, he wrote a letter to the parent company, Firestone or Goodyear, whoever. About a month and a half later, the man called me and said, sir, thank you for your letter. Based on your letter alone, they've made me dealer of the year with a brand new car and a brand new passport. Not a bad payoff for a little bit of kindness, amen? Now, I'm saying this, you and I as believers ought to be characterized by kindness. I mean, kindness ought to be a part of our persona if we're a child of God. And I want to challenge you this evening, if you would, ask God to help you, to so fill you with his spirit that you can show kindness to every person with whom you come in contact. But in particular, your spouse. I was with a pastor in another church, tall man, good-looking man, there's something about him, he just draws people. And we went out to eat, and total strangers came up to our table and would talk with him, and they didn't know him. And there's just something about this man that people were drawn to him. And I saw that night after night after night, people would just come and just talk to him, didn't even know him, but they'd talk with him. And he was so kind and gracious and just so loving to different people. I thought, I would like to have that. And Wednesday, after seeing this for about 3 or 4 days, I said, Lord, would you make me that same persona? Would you let me do that like this man is doing it? And then came Thursday. Thursday, I think we'd gone visiting. We came back to the church. Anyway, we're driving across the church parking lot at a diagonal, and here came the pastor's wife driving a second car at a diagonal. They came to the middle and stopped and rolled down their windows and had about a 20-second exchange. This man, so kind and so gracious and so loving to total strangers, when talking with his own wife, was cold and abrupt and actually cruel. And I watched that, and I thought, if I were limited to show kindness to one person, I can only choose one person and do with that one person, who should that one person be? Should that not be my wife, Miss Elma? Can I give you a challenge, gentlemen? Would you ask God to so fill you with his spirit, and just do this maybe till the end of February, just as an experiment, see if it works for you, okay? But say, Lord, would you so fill me with your power, with your spirit? Would you enable me to show kindness to every person with whom I come in contact, but especially my brothers and sisters here in the church family, and especially my own wife, treating her with more kindness than any other person that I meet? That's not easy. But would you take that challenge? Would you consider it? There's another verse, another word we're going to look at in a minute. The first word was what? Kindness. Read the whole verse again, if you would, please. Together. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So the K would stand for kindness, and the F stands for forgiveness. Now, anytime you have two people going to live together, they're going to share the same bedroom, the same bathroom, the same kitchen facilities, there's going to be hurt feelings and wrong feelings and misunderstandings, and there's a need for what? Forgiveness. Now, when that slight, that hurt, that injury is unintentional, it's quite easy to forgive, isn't it? When it's intentional, it's a whole different story. Years ago, when my first wife, Janice, was getting Rebecca ready for bed, Rebecca was 5 years old at that point, she's in kindergarten, and I went to bed early for some reason that night, went in and got ready for bed and turned off the lights. When I walked across the bedroom, and turned off the lights, I felt a slash of pain, an excruciating pain in my left heel, and then nothing. I thought, what was that? Whatever it was horrible. And so I turned on the lights and looked, and, oh brother, there was a hole in my heel. And coming out of the hole were two white threads. My wife, Janice, was a seamstress. She had lost a needle. I had found it. Now, I hope you're not squeamish, but once the needle went inside, I couldn't even feel it. Not a problem at all. So I got dressed again, went out to my wife. I said, did you lose a needle? She said, what? I said, check this out. She saw the hole in the needle. It was very, very easy for me to forgive her because that was unintentional. When the hurt is intentional, it's a whole different story, isn't it? Years ago, there was a family in our church. I knew them quite well, and a husband and wife and four kids. And the man was just constantly badgering his wife. I mean, just criticizing, just a constant barrage of criticizing and cutting down. If you went to eat with them, and the potatoes were lumpy, and the gravy was cold, and the meat was burning, just a constant barrage of criticism. And you ladies can imagine what happens with that, can't you? After a while, she began to develop a debilitating pain that she could not live with. And they went to doctor after doctor, specialist after specialist, and there was no relief. They probably spent that price of a house over a few years getting all these high-dollar specialists and no relief because she would not forgive. When we talk about forgiveness, is there a name that comes up for you or maybe even a face? Someone that's wronged you in some way, or intentionally or unintentionally, and you just will not forgive. You know, I'm reading in different places, they say that when you hold on to a grudge and refuse to forgive, you elevate your risk of different forms of cancer several 100%. You may pay a price if you hold on to that grudge. As far as I know, there's not a single person in the world that I cannot forgive. Do you know why? Because I have been forgiven. Look at our verse again. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know what my kindness or my forgiveness cost my Savior? They took the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the creation. They took Jesus behind the hall of judgment, stripped his robe, tied him over the top of a whipping post to a chain hanging high over his head. Either way, I'd draw the flesh on his back very, very tight. A Roman soldier came with a cruel, cruel whip known as the flagrum. 9 leather lashes coming from a wooden handle. They would tie little sharp pieces of lead or flint or even bone into those lashes. And so when you struck someone with a whip, you actually ripped their back open. Just flesh came off. And a horrible, horrible thing to even think about. They whipped Jesus with that 39 times. Multiply 39 times 9. You find that the whip can penetrate Jesus 351 different times. It was such a horrendous torture that many times a man would fall down and die right in the chains just by being scourged, because the scourge sometimes nearly cut them in half before they were through. Finally, they were through and they brought Jesus out. They put a blind over his eyes. One by one, the soldiers came by. They'd walk out and just slap him in the face. You can't see me, Jesus, but tell me, who hit you, man? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, stood there quietly, didn't say a word. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Beat on that crown of thorns to drive those thorns into his skull. The pain would have been unbearable. They spit on him to show their hatred. Finally took him around behind the hall of judgment, drove spikes through his hands and through his feet after he had dragged that cross off the top of the hill Calvary. And then worst of all, God is Father up in heaven, took my sins and your sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world and placed our sins on Jesus. It was the middle of the day, but God reached down and turned out the lights. It got as dark as the darkest night as God the Father turned his back on his own son, the Lord Jesus. Why did Jesus stand and take that torture? He did it for me, for you, that we might be forgiven. Don't you love that word? If you struggle with this, I challenge you. If you have a problem with forgiving people, go to John 19 and read the whole chapter of John 19, a part of John 20. It just tells some of the details of what happened at Calvary, the crucifixion. And if you could read that, I don't think you could read that and not be willing to forgive because you have been forgiven. K stands for kindness. The F stands for forgiveness. Read the whole verse one more time if you would. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see, Brother Ed, I see the K, that would be kindness. I see the F, that would be forgiveness. But what is the T? Do you see the T? I mean, the C? KFC. Do you see this? The word is tenderhearted. Now, tenderhearted doesn't start with the C like we thought. It actually is the Greek word eustrenkos. Eustrenkos means well-compassioned. It's the idea of an athlete sitting down or doing some exercise to develop a particular muscle group. And God wants you actually to exercise and develop a set of compassion. Now, to suppose that your pastor teaches on foreign missions and you have a passion for the people around the world to see have the gospel, amen? Has he taught you to have compassion on each other, brothers and sisters in the Lord? Years ago, when my first wife was battling cancer, she battled with cancer for 4 years before God took her home. And during one particular time, I had come off the road and just didn't do any meetings. For 7 months, I canceled my meetings one week at a time. And that's our source of income, okay? I'm an evangelist. And one night, my wife said, I hope you have a good check. And I said, why did you say that? She said, well, there's a lot of bills that are going to come out under draft this week from the checking account, and there's no money there for them. I said, well, I have some my money from our last account. And so Sunday night, I sat at the kitchen table and wept, trying to decide if I was going to tithe that day or not. You know what I told my Lord? I said, Lord, right now my family needs this more than my church does. If you don't mind, I'm not going to tithe this week. And look at the bills we have, and I'm going to need this. And I thought, wait a minute. For more than 40 years, my Father has met every need I've ever had because I've tithed all of my life. And I thought, why would God desert me now? And I wept, actually, Pastor. I wept and I wrote the tithe check and I put it in. That was Sunday night. Monday, I drove to the Wilds and preached at the Wilds all week long. And then on Friday, I was thinking, I wonder if the director has a book here, has a mailbox here. And I had a whole series of books I thought he'd enjoy. Check out the books, by the way, as you walk out today. Some books that will thrill your soul. When you meet the King, King Emmanuel, you'll fall in love with the King, I guarantee you. But I went up there and I went up to the office and looked, and here's all these cubbyhole mailboxes. And then there was a mailbox up at the top that said Camp Speaker. And I thought, well, I guess that's me. And I reached up and felt inside. I couldn't see inside, it was so high. But I felt somebody pulled it out. And here's a little tiny envelope about this big, too small to go through the U.S. mail. But somebody in Pennsylvania had mailed it, and they delivered it. A little tiny card inside. I opened it up. There was a check for $3,000. Because somebody that I didn't even know, who they were, where they lived, had compassion on me, knowing there was a need, and God, the Holy Spirit, apparently moved in their heart. During that period of time, we were spending $1,100 a week in cancer treatments that insurance never even looked at. And we were current on everything all the way through the entire process. Every day, I'd walk out to the mailbox. When I get within about 10 feet of the mailbox, literally, my heart would start racing. It really would. And every single day, 6 days a week, there'd be one or two or maybe three cards with envelopes. And all the way through that period of time, when we were spending over $1,100 a week in cancer treatments, God met our need week after week after week after week because people that were in tune with him had a sense of compassion. How about your own family? Sir, you come home in the evening, you're tired, the boss was on your case all day, the customers were rude, there were no sales today, it's just not been a good day, and you can't wait to get to the emails and check the sports scores and just catch up some of the things. And as you walk into the house, your little 5-year-old girl comes up, Daddy's home, Daddy, play with me. And what's the classic response, guys? Not now, sweetheart. Daddy's tired. And you brush the little girl aside. God has equipped you to meet her needs and have a sense of compassion toward her. And you just brush her aside because you can't wait to get to the sports cars. As you walk through the kitchen, your wife's at the stove there cooking, and, hey, honey, I'm home. And you set your briefcase down. Don't even touch the lady. Don't go up and give her a hug. You're just passing through. Hey, I'm home, and you head to the computer. Tomorrow night, when you get home from work, turn off the ignition, bow your head right at the steering wheel, and say, Lord, I'm about to come face to face with the most precious people on the face of this earth. Help me to be ready there to meet needs. And as you walk in, your little girl comes up, Daddy's home, Daddy, play with me. And for 5 minutes, so sit on the stairs and play house with that little lady. You can make her day in 5 minutes' time if you have a sense of compassion. You walk through the kitchen, there's your wife at the stove. Hey, honey, I'm home. Drop your briefcase, walk up behind that lady and just grab her and squeeze her, squeeze the life out of her and just say, hey, honey, turn off supper for a minute. Let's take a walk in. Just for 10 minutes, walk together and talk together and just share this company. I'm saying develop a sense of compassion where you're reaching out and meeting needs. After 4 months of battling cancer, my wife was taken home to heaven. I was devastated. It was like half my heart had been ripped away. If you lose a spouse, that's something you just never really get over. Ellen and I have both experienced that. And just a few months after God took Janice home, I was doing a meeting in Southern California. And Wednesday was the last day of our meeting that week. And on Wednesday, I was sitting outside the church office, sitting in a little concrete area there, and waiting for the pastor to come and take me to lunch. While I was waiting for him, I had a vision of an angel, a little Filipino angel. And this little lady came up and began to talk to me. Thank you for coming to our church. It's been such a blessing. And she was wearing sunglasses. I couldn't see her eyes. I was thinking maybe she's 32 years old or so. She told me she had a 25-year-old son. I thought, well, she's not 35 then, is she? I got her email address. We started emailing and then Skyping and then those long-distance flights to California. And on a night just after Christmas, December 28th, I stood at the head of a big church wearing a tuxedo and a purple vest, if you can imagine. And I watched the world's smallest bride come walking down the aisle. God gave me Elma. I want to be a husband to her where God allows me to meet her needs. She's a special gift to me. And both of us know how quickly you can lose a spouse. And so we see the brevity of life and see the importance of living every day as if today is going to be your last one. You know what I'm saying. Would you bow your heads, please? I want to ask you kind of a pointed personal question, and Pastor Rambler, I think he'll come. I wonder how much tonight we say, Brother Ed, I'll take the challenge for the rest of February. What's it going to be, about 3 weeks? For the rest of February, I'm going to ask God to so fill me with His power, with His Spirit, that I can show kindness to every person with whom I come in contact, but especially focusing on my wife, showing greater sense of love and forgiveness and kindness to her than anybody else I come in contact with. I'll put my wife number one. If you take that challenge just for the rest of February, can I see your hand? I'll have to give that a try. I want God to use me that way. Thank you. Lord God, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the wondrous things you've done for us in saving our souls. May we never lose the wonder of our salvation. Thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your compassion to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you.